of age lost their lives because of their disobedience. Last week, the message was titled, Stones of Remembrance, focusing upon the Israelites 40 years afterwards as they crossed the Jordan River and entered into the promised land, the land that they inherited that God had promised to them by faith. The story challenged us to leave a legacy of trusting God to be literally a stone of remembrance ourselves. Today, we want to look at a different subject. Let's push the rewind button. Us guys are really good at that, you know, with the TV control. Let's push the rewind button. I love these DVRs, by the way, where you can see a fantastic play by Kentucky Wildcat and push the rewind button and go back and not miss a thing. It's good. Let's push that button today. Let's go back 40 years in time. The story of Israel leaving Egypt after 430 years of being enslaved. The title and text are God-sized task, Exodus 14, verses 1 through 31. This chapter, and as a matter of fact, these verses follow a very famous storyline. Through 10 miraculous plagues, God demonstrated His power and His glory nonstop, not only to the Israelites, but especially to the Egyptians. Amazingly, as a result, Pharaoh chose to liberate the Israelites. In other words, he wanted to get rid of them before another plague hit. He literally was doing damage control. So he said to Moses, the Israelites, get out of here before something worse happens. So Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. This is where today's message picks up as we look at point number one, told task. Told task. The Bible says, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea. Notice in this verse that God told Moses what to do. God had a task, and He told Moses to fulfill that task. No ambiguity, no confusion. Notice the specifics of this verse right here. Notice that God specifically has a plan for the Israelites, just as God specifically has a plan for us. Now, here's the personal application. God speaks into our lives personally and also corporately as a church. God has a specific plan for us individually, and God has a specific plan for His church here at Circle. The plan that God has for your life and the plan that God has for this church is something that we cannot do. Because if we could do it, then why in this world do we need God? So the Guiding Coalition began meeting this past Thursday night to hear from God in regard to God's plan for the 35 acres of property that God so miraculously gave to us last July. So just as Moses listened to God in order to get direction for the task ahead, we must do the same. A told task. Number two. This task is also going to be a tough task. It's going to be a tough one. Verses 3 through 9, I've selected verses 5, 6, and 7 to share with you. The Bible says, now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled and that the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against his people. And they said, why have we done this that we have let Israel go from serving us? Verse 6, so he, Pharaoh, made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. What do these verses tell us? The task will be tough. It will be a tough task. If you follow God's plan for your life, if we as a church follow God's plan for us as a church, it will be something that we cannot do ourselves. It will be a tough task. In the story right here, Pharaoh lets the Israelites go. He says, good riddance, get out of here. I'm sick and tired of your plagues. I'm sick and tired of all the suffering. You get out of here. So the Israelites are gone. And now there's an eerie silence in Egypt. Construction of the empire has slowed dramatically. And now Pharaoh's hearing complaints from his people. They're having to do the work now instead of the Israelites. So they're ticked off. They're now having to work for a living. So what does Pharaoh do? Pharaoh noticed this difference. And all of a sudden, when the emotional and psychological fear of the plagues was overshadowed by the fear of the loss of labor, Pharaoh mobilized his army, and now he was going to pursue the Israelites as they had the head start. Write it down. Take it to the bank. Use whatever catchphrase that you want to utilize. God's plan for your life, God's plan for this church will be tough. Think, for example, of my life or anybody's life who's called to be a missionary. God tells me that my task in life is to be a missionary. That's going to be a tough task. Why? Well, I tell a family member that I'm going to be a missionary, and this is their statement. Why do you want to go overseas when there's such a need over here in America? And then my relative tells me, why do you want to waste your career? Why don't you just send it down the drain, going to another country and doing work with poor people, and you're not going to see very much results? You're going to waste your talent. And then the family member says, how can you think about leaving your family? You see, it's a tough task. God's plan for our lives individually is a tough task. And for a church that feels called to step out by faith, including Circle Drive, the task ahead of us will be tough. Looming in the background is the challenge. Figuratively, here comes the Egyptian army pursuing us to prevent us from seeing this tough task come to pass. You see, Satan will do whatever he can to prevent God's people from doing God's will. Tough task. Tough task. Number three, trembling task. You better believe it. It goes from a tough task to a tough task to a trembling task. Verses 10 and 11 and 12. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They could hear the beating of the horse hoofs. They could hear the noise of the army approaching. So the Bible says they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then they said to Moses, this is what they said. Oh, here's the sarcasm. They're angry. Angry people are sarcastic, and sarcasm is camouflaged anger. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in this wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Well, they were sarcastic. You see, Mike, you know a lot about sarcasm. That's because when I was a kid, I was very sarcastic. I'm telling you, I had a lot of anger in me as a kid. And boy, I could just cut people, slice them this way and this way with sarcastic talk. But then notice what the Bible says. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? In other words, na 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 na. Didn't we tell you? If you had just listened to us, we were right and you were wrong. We'd still be in Egypt. At least we'd have a roof over our heads and food in our bellies. And listen to what they say. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. I mean, that's a real slap to Moses and his leadership. You see, God's told and tough task requires strong faith. Some, however, react to the task, like the Israelites, with fear. In this story, the Israelites saw the Red Sea ahead of them, and they saw Pharaoh's army behind them. It was quite a predicament. Danger ahead, danger behind. Here are their options. Go forward and drown, stand still and get annihilated. Great options, aren't they? Actually, the Israelites' greatest problem was neither the Red Sea ahead of them, but nor Pharaoh's army behind them. The greatest dilemma was their fear. That was their greatest danger. They saw the bigness of the water ahead and the bigness of the Egyptian army behind rather than the bigness of God. Now look at this quote from Ed Young. It's a good one on the screen. Trusting God with our future is easier said than done because fear has a way of appearing more powerful than God himself. When we are overwhelmed by a certain situation or with indecision about which way to go, we lose sight of the awesomeness of God. He goes on to say this. He says, in other words, we make more out of fear than it really is. Fear rather than the power, promise, and provision of God becomes our motivator. And that's exactly what was happening in the life of the Israelites. They were dominated by fear and not by faith. You see, the told task is a tough task, and that tough task becomes a trembling task. Think with me today, 35 acres, told task, tough task, trembling task. But number four, we must not leave out the timely task. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who see you today, you shall see them again no more. You see what this is? Do you know what this is? Here it is. God's plan and God's timing. God says to Moses, and Moses says to the people, stand still. Now what does it mean to stand still? Properly defined in the dictionary, complete cessation of activity or progress. You know what my definition of stand still is? Driving in Denver in rush hour traffic. That is my definition of stand still. By the way, some of the greatest advice I ever got in my life was by a member of this church when I first moved to Colorado, and this is what the person said. Mike, if you're going to drive in Denver, don't drink a pot of coffee before you leave the house. Great words, thank you. Stand still. Hey, Moses is saying, stop your griping, stop your complaining, stand still. You're about to see God do something that only he can do. And that's what God is telling us. God is telling us, stand still. Because God is about to do something, if we will respond in faith, something that only he can do. So Moses and the Israelites faced a choice with the Red Sea ahead of them, the Pharaoh and his army behind them, and the all-knowing and all-powerful God working among them. They need a miracle. And Moses said, stand still, and God will give you that miracle, and you're going to see it yourself. Last year, God gave us a miracle. 35 acres, prime property, appraised at $3,583,000 that God graciously gave to us for $1,350,000. We paid for it with cash, and God was so good to allow us to keep additional cash in the bank for the future. And now God has a greater miracle for us. Moses told the Israelites, stand still, because God has a greater miracle ahead of you all. God is saying the same for us. Stand still. You think the miracle, the property is a miracle? Wait until you see what else I have planned for you. Henry Blackaby has said this. Following God's will can sometimes be difficult. Don't panic. Stay where God has led you. Quitting or fleeing is evidence of a doubting heart. Remain where God placed you, and you will witness the miraculous. You see, God has a greater miracle for Circle Drive. We need to stand still. You see, it's God's providential timing for Circle. Stand still. Just look and see what amazing things that God is going to accomplish in through your life and in and through this church. It is a told task. It is a tough task. It is a trembling task. It's a timely task. But I've got great news for you. It is a triumphant task, number five. I like verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. No matter how big the obstacle, God is bigger. And I like what Moses says, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, Moses is saying, the Lord's going to fight for you. Hush your mouth. Be quiet. And the verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel. Oh, don't you love this? God says to Moses, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now, the Red Sea hasn't been parted yet, but God's telling them to go forward. Verse 16, but lift up your rod, here's the plan of action, and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. I love this concept here. You see, what God is saying is this. First, you need to go forward by faith. And then I'm going to perform the miracle. You see, faith requires action. So in other words, we move forward in our own personal lives. We move forward as a church by faith. And as we're moving forward by faith, believing in the miracle, God performs the miracle. Look at verses 15 and 16. Why didn't God at first instruct Moses to divide the Red Sea and then instruct the Israelites to go forward? It's because faith requires action. And as you and I trust God for the future and with the future, we need to be taking the next step of faith along that path. So often we want to see way up ahead into the distance, and then we're overwhelmed. But God reveals his plan for our lives and for his church one step at a time. From our perspective, it is called the walk of faith. As God guides us, just as he guided Moses and the Israelites to move forward toward the Red Sea. Can you imagine as Moses lifted up that rod and all of a sudden, whoosh? I don't know about you, but I would have loved to have been Moses. I'd have had an adrenaline rush. I mean to tell you, to hold that rod, and then all of a sudden God went whoosh. And then, wow, look at what God has done. And then here came the Egyptians. God has another plan in store. Once the Israelites get through, guess what God does? God says, you went forward by faith, I'll take care of all of the problems. And the water came, the Egyptians pursued, and they were all drowned in the sea. You see, God likewise will perform a miracle for us as we move forward in faith and obedience. He'll remove the obstacles. 35 acres of property is just the first of many miracles that God has in store for us, and that's the reason he's saying today, stand still and see what I'm about to do. It is a toll task. It is a tough task. It is a trembling task. It's a timely task. It is a triumphant task. But look at the letter C, point number six, that is. It is a transformational task. It is an incredibly transformational task. Look what he says in verse 20. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea. I don't know about you, I'd like to have been Moses, but I also would have liked to have been someone walking on the dry land through that water. I probably would have been like a little kid sticking his head in the water to see if I could see some of the fish swimming around. Wouldn't it have been cool to just kind of stick your head in the water and just kind of look around and see the fish as they're swimming? And then pull your head back out and just walk some more? Probably would have seen some crappie and trout and bass and bluegill, right? You fishermen know all about that. But that had been fun. And then walking through that, and then all of a sudden seeing God go whoosh and bring it over the Egyptian army. And I'm sitting back and I'm watching all of this happen in a matter of hours. And I'm amazed at what God has done. And my life is transformed. You see, God performed a miracle for the Israelites. He parted the Red Sea and the people crossed on dry land. The Egyptians pursued and they were drowned. And as a result of that, the people of God saw God do something that only he could do. Look at the next verse. So the Lord saved, that is, delivered Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel, what? Saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You see, the task, God's task for your life and for our church becomes transformational when you experience God accomplishing in and through your life what you yourself cannot do. And by the way, what it's all about, it's not about you or me. It's about the kingdom. God's will has nothing to do about your personal preference or mine. It has everything to do with the kingdom. So look at verse 31. Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. They saw the water of the Red Sea standing. They walked on the dry ground. The people believed it was God who did the work. The task became a transformational one. It therefore became a triumphant one as well. Now, as we as a church move forward by faith, and as we experiencing God accomplishing in and through our lives what we in ourselves could never, ever do, we are going to be transformed. Have you ever been transformed by an experience with God? Has there ever been something that God did in your life or in the church you belong to that literally transformed your faith? I can say yes. Some of you have heard me tell this story, but for the sake of you, those of you who have not, I want to share this with you because it ties right in with what we're talking about. God called me to my second pastorate outside of Louisville, Kentucky. The church was founded in 1979, and it was meeting in a house, and I went there in August of 1985. When they founded the church, they purchased 10 acres of property by faith, and they had designed already the first facility. It would be a worship center seating 220 people. Down below would be the fellowship hall and classrooms for Bible study. It would be long and narrow. And then at the end, to the right, there would be a section attached to it. It was an L section where you'd have two offices upstairs for pastor and pastor secretary, two rooms downstairs for Bible study, and then across the hall you'd have restrooms upstairs and downstairs. When I went to that church in 1985, it was a dysfunctional mess. Everything was wrong. You know, I was just naive, and I'm glad I was, because I wouldn't have gone there if I'd known all the problems that church was having. But God wanted me to go there. He had many things to teach me and show me, but also God needed me there to lead the people. And God began turning things around. It was just unbelievable how God turned things around. To this day, I'm amazed at what he was doing. So the people have been fighting and fussing and splitting and all of the immorality in the church and all of this thing, meeting in a house with 60 to 70 people. And here's their big vision God's given them. So now the people are revived and they've recaptured that vision and they're ready to move forward and they're excited and they're ready to implement the plans for that building. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, you people are crazy. I mean, we got the figures together for that new worship center with the L section attached to it. It was astronomical for the amount of money that we had as a church. So we began discussions, and I recommended, we need to cut this L section off, put the restrooms in the front of the building, and I'll just have an office here in this house, and we'll do that. And they wouldn't go for it. The leadership of the church that had planted that church had this vision in their mind, and God had given them this vision and the plans for the worship center, and it was all or nothing. And they were believing God had given them that vision. My perspective was, this is how much our church is taking in. We're not meeting our budget, although we are in the black for the first time in many years for that church. But yet, the amount that we were taking in compared to how much we'd have to pay for that building, was astronomical. So I made my recommendation that the church went with their original plan. You talk about a lesson in humility. God really taught me a lot that day, during those days. So guess what we did? We broke ground, started building. They dug the basement. Never forget, I had a car, and it was a small car, and I thought, I'm going to have some fun here, and I drove it in the basement of that. That was so much fun. It was at night, and I was just driving around in that basement with that car. That was really cool. I wanted to pop a wheelie, but I was afraid to. But I still said, this is just not going to work. This is not going to work. Built the church, built the facility, the building, all of it. A few things left out, drop ceiling downstairs, the restrooms downstairs unfinished, but for the most part, finished. We go into that building. Never forget the first Sunday. It was amazing. And then that night, a week from that night, the finance team wanted to meet with me. They said, Mike, we need to talk. Uh-oh. That's not good. So we sat down and they said, Mike, we paid all the bills. We're sorry to tell you, we can't pay you this week for the next 2 weeks. You know what? That really didn't bother me because I've never been about money. I know God's going to take care of me because he always does. My problem was the condition of the church. So we sat there that night and we prayed together. And you know what one of the guys did? He said, Mike, I feel impressed to do this. He pulled out his wallet, laid $20 down on the table, and he said, Mike, that's for you to get you through this week. Next person, same thing. Next person, same thing. All the cash on the table. I said, I'm not taking this. I refuse to take this because this is your money. They said, Mike, we're not leaving here in this building. We'll stay here all night until you take that money. Because we're believing that God, who gave us the vision for this building, is the same God who's going to give us our money back. You know what God did in the next couple of months? Whoosh! Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. The church just exploded in growth. The budget we had in the house doubled when we made that move. I'm ashamed to say, and it makes me look bad today, that I was an Israelite. That I said, this can't be done. But praise God for people in that church who had the faith to believe that, yes, it could be done. I learned a lot during those days as a young pastor. The thing that I learned the most was this. When God tells you to do something that you can't do, and by faith, you step out on faith to allow God to accomplish in and through your life what you can't do yourself. You know what's going to happen? Your faith is going to be transformed. My faith was transformed. This doubting, skeptical pastor who said, it won't work, we got to downsize. God transformed my faith. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what God does. The God who worked the miracle at the Red Sea was the God that performed the miracle in the building at Eastern Gate. And is the God who is going to work another miracle here at Circle Drive. And as a result, we all are going to be transformed. Let's pray.